on this bombshell.
Welcome, everybody. This is BNP Weekly, episode 72. It is 24th of February, 2020. And this time we have another Finn as a visitor, and been Finn and an MVP from Finland.
Hello.
She might be actually living somewhere else. Hey, you never know.
I live in Finland.
Yes.
Helsinki.
But before we go to introduction of Carolina, and now I'm mixing it with Carolina. This goes really well.
We are so well prepared.
So, BNP Weekly, my name is Esa Juvonen, I'm a Principal Program Manager from the RunPrice SharePoint platform team, and with me as a co-host is Waldek. You are...
Hi everybody, my name is Valdemar Maslikas. I am Head of Product at Rancor, and as Esa said, today we have another Finn as a guest. Carolina, introduce yourself.
Yes, hello, I'm Carolina Kettokari, and I'm from Finland, I live in Helsinki. I'm a
in Finland, Helsinki.
I'm a Teams and Office 365 user adoption and change management consultant. So I help the IT to get the most of the out of the licenses, and I help employees being happy, I hope.
Yep. Which is immediate follow-up question. What does that mean in practice for those who don't actually know that?
Yes.
But actually, change management is super important. So I was just having actually earlier today a meeting with one of the account managers or account team from a large airline company. And they were just saying that they're, as an example, their SharePoint online portals will be live or ready to go in about June, July, but they will be releasing that by end of this year because of change management and making sure that everybody is up to date and learning the things. So is that something what you, Carolina, see with other large customers as well? So can you explain for those who do not understand, why would they wait for 3 months or 4 months for go live? What's with that?
Well, define wait, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Actually, that's pretty nice to hear that they are doing that, because actually change management and communication about the becoming change should start as soon as we start the technical project. And at the moment, I don't see that much happening in our customers. So it's actually pretty nice to hear that someone is really doing that. Yeah.
Well, that in that case, it's a global enterprise who has gone through these transitions in the past as well. So they absolutely know the impact of that. But why is change management important? And what do customers, sorry, Waldek, and what do customers then do on that? What does it mean for them?
Yeah. Basically, what I do with customers is we plan roadmaps, we plan communication plans, we do training plans, we do coaching plans, workshops plans, and basically we are doing the human side of the change. So before the technical implementation comes to place, we are also planning how the teamwork is going to change and what kind of training and coaching is needed for that.
Because there's always a change, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Always changing. Always changing.
It's a constant change, a flow of change.
Yes.
So I can imagine that whenever you come up with something new, it doesn't fall out of the sky, right? So I can imagine that at some point, somebody comes up with an idea, people, we need to change the way we work. And then you reach out to users to, let's say you've tried to find advocates for the internal change to basically drive it to understand their needs, how they work, to understand how that would fit. And then I assume that when things are, let's say, code done, the adoption part starts, and then you get back to them. Or how does that work? How does that group get then pulls back into, okay, now we have something that you can experience. Let's help us bring it to everybody else.
That's exactly the mindset that needs to change in people's minds, because technical sense, you have a project, it starts and it ends, and then you have maybe some kind of support methods after that. But with change management, it never ends because the change is constant. So you have to really think about the trainings, think about the communication, think about developing teamwork all the time. So, for example, when we are thinking about change management roadmaps with clients, it should be for a year or 2 years and not like a 3-month project.
Right. And I guess maybe even then, as you said, it's never done, because in a year time, well, the world doesn't stay still. Like, yeah, the things will change, things will evolve, and you will be yet for another change. And maybe that will need to be backed up by tech, but maybe not. Maybe you have everything in place. You just need to make better use of the assets that you already have, right?
Yes, yes. And the happy thing is that maybe during the last year or last year or two, the project has become not only IT projects, but also involving much more HR, much more communications. Yeah. So the teamwork development side is always visible in the user adoption also.
Yeah, and that really comes back on the fact that when a customer makes a decision to move, let's say, to a Microsoft Teams as an example, the collaboration platform will be changed. And it's not like you will just magically lend the Teams to everybody, every single employee, and then magically they will start using that. And that's not how it works.
We know that's not how it works, but many of the people still think so.
Yeah.
So it's getting better more and more. But we are getting more.
Whose responsibility is that? So if you think about, let's say, an customer, let's say a leadership team makes a decision to move to Microsoft Teams, wouldn't it make sense as part of that decision, they always consider also the implications of the change management? Because after all, they're now paying for the new service as well, like additional 10 euros per month, and then they want to engage, they want to make sure that then that investment actually has then return of an investment.
Yeah, so that's also a very interesting thing about the return on investment, because technically you pay the same amount of money for the licenses, not depending how much you use it. And of course, the IT department, the finance department wants to cut costs. And for example, if you can utilize Teams and Forms and Power Automate, then you can cut off some extra third-party applications you are maybe paying for licenses. And then, of course, on the people side, you can be more effective, more productive. We have this, all of these like Forrester studies that you can save up to 4 hours per working week. Yes, by using Microsoft Teams. But from my point of view, in the end of the day, it's not like you cannot be more productive all the time. And if I save 4 hours, what I'm going to do with the 4 hours I save?
True.
So it's in the end, it's basically employee experience and employee satisfaction where they are putting the money on.
So the one thing that I wonder about is that, and I guess that somebody said that about the money, but I think I wonder to what extent that the same thing applies to tech, right? When people used to work in given way, right? And they used to work like that, I don't know, for 10, 20 years. And now they get all this tech like 365 and Teams and all of that. And it's available to them and they still do not use it. Would you say that, like, when we get tech available, it unveils how we used to work? It makes it more visible? Or is it just a burden and that is why people like explicitly do not want it?
That's an interesting topic, because you can do your work the same way you have been working for the last 20 years with Teams. You can have all the same folder structure and do everything as you've been doing before. And then I think it might feel as a burden at that point. Mm-hmm. But also that's the possibility to reveal the old, maybe old working habits and then get to develop the teamwork into more modern ways.
Right.
And the modern hopefully means streamlined and more efficient way as well. So
yes. It's not about using every single bits and tabs in Teams, but using it effectively together with your team.
Yeah. Oh, but I mean, there are also things like they will become more visible with tech. Like, imagine as a company, you had the culture that everybody would keep things close to their chest. They wouldn't share. Now, when you make Teams available, it's empty. And you can now visibly see, like, wow, it's empty. Why? Well, because for the last 20 years, we haven't shared anything. We just would talk one to another, like, this is my meeting, we have a meeting, we discuss something between us, but there's no public record of anything that we do. And now it's visible in Teams, it's empty.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Nothing is being shared, right? So maybe in that aspect, it actually unravels the culture that you have, and that needs to change to really drive the change, right?
Yeah, that's a huge thing for people. If you are used to working your own documents in your own computer and suddenly you have to put your documents in Teams where everyone can see those, it's a huge thing for your human
mind. Where is my eDrive? Where is my eDrive?
Yes.
User drive. That's the,
Yeah.
That's the classic one.
And that's how... Because I'm very fond of the Teams being for teamwork. And that's why I'm also pretty little skeptical of the private channels, because I know there are use cases for private channels, but for me, it's like a small step backwards to the more private, more old-fashioned way of working.
I think there is, like, depending to which level of the company you talk to, at some point I've heard there is this notion that transparency confuses folks. Yes. Because you will get to hear more about what is in progress, new ideas, and then it's like, okay, so do we do this or not? No, we are experimenting with that. Okay, experiment. So what does it mean? Do I tell the customers or not? Like, yeah. No.
Should I change my behavior yet?
Already. Yeah. And then it seems like the company changes the culture every day. It's like, no. Like, we are going this way, but these are other things that we are just looking at, right? But that, like, understand and to be able to separate, let's say, the planned course on which you fare as opposed to all the different ideas you look into and you experiment with, I think that might be hard for everybody who is not involved, let's say, in management team.
Sure. Yes. Sure. But then again, so you might have a private team, not private team channel for that stuff. So it's just a matter of where do we actually go to in a granular level to get limit the visibility. And anyway, coming back on the getting the files on the Teams, is I think it's obviously from a company and enterprise perspective, it's quite critical to get the files, the Teams and discussions, so they're in a cloud, so they're under the enterprise umbrella rather than in somebody's individual device. And then what happens when the device actually disappears? All the information is gone.
Your files disappear too. Yeah.
Exactly. When a person moves to another company, the discussions and all of that silent knowledge, whatever we'll call that nowadays, is completely gone. Now it's basically getting captured in Teams, hopefully.
And I think these are pretty much clear things for developers, for like consultants, but these are the things we are discussing every time with a customer, because these are new things for normal employees who has just like opened Teams for the first time. So it's very important to discuss about the super basics of how to work in a cloud. Yeah, what's Office 365?
So just out of curiosity, as a personal point of view, how are you getting yourself still excited on talking about that? So how do you, is it all about acting? As a film, you are obviously outshining.
Every week there is a release in 365, right? So there's all the time something new, right?
Yeah, because it's interesting because I'm a Finnish, I'm super Finnish, I'm super introverted person. But actually, I've noticed that being in conferences, giving presentations, conferences is the one thing I enjoy the most. That's my favorite thing to learn and way to learn. So I don't know. I think because the cloud is always changing, there are always coming new things to Teams, and always in every single company there is room for improvement.
Yep.
For in the sense of teamwork. So it's never done. It's never ready.
I think it's almost like, I still remember when we were doing, this is 2007, 2008 or whatever, we were doing SharePoint framework development trainings, workshops, and we did the same training 48 times, which is actually quite horrifying. 3 days training, 48 times. So, but then somebody was starting asking so doesn't get boring? And the answer is actually no, because after every single delivery, the training package is again at the 80% level, because again, you get input from the new customer and the new people you present to. And then you actually, the stuff evolves at the same time. And you basically, you can always go and improve the material. And then you learn from the people you communicate with that worked, that didn't work. So let's actually use that route and so on. So.
And I think maybe with adoption, the angle there is different, because it's very much like, if you think about the dev stuff, right? It's just how you build things. Like there is no like the way you build things in big lines that doesn't differ per company. Sure, you might have your naming conventions or the way you structure things, but in a really like broad spectrum, it's the same. Whereas adoption, it's very much tailored to your company. Like you have an idea where you want to go, but two companies would probably approach it differently because they're structured differently. At least that's my assumption, right? Like
different
I don't
ratio,
do that kind of work. But yeah, like I can imagine that every company is different, which is why, sure, like you have, let's say the blueprint is the same, but then already at bullet point one, you mentioned something, and there's like a hand, can I ask something? And then you go, and you tell you of the course, right?
Yeah, it's true, because we have the frameworks. We can basically, we have the communication plan, we have change agent, we have similar stuff in every project, but every company, every team is different. And I really like working with the customers, like being live with the customers, and the feeling when you see that the team you have been working with is evolving and like really changing the ways they work. It's super exciting for me.
Realizing the difference. Oh, now I get it, and it's pretty.
And it sparks. Yes. And it sparks. You see the light bulb going, like, bing, and they get it, and you're like, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's. And obviously, every single company has their own corporate communications and how they behave, how they communicate. The ratio between white collar and blue collar workers is the one way which has a massive impact as well. So, if how many factories there are, how global or not global the things are, multilingual aspects, so many things. Not what's the right word. Every now and then, it would be fun still to do one of these large customer projects, because I used to do those corporate communicational intranets as a technical lead, not as a change management lead.
So valuable, like to really, like once in a while, get out there and talk to actually people who work with it. Like there is, like when you build,
I met
product,
a customer. What?
Wow! Like seriously, but I mean, it sounds cliche, but it's really. Yeah. It's invaluable, right? Because like at the end of the day, you build something based on your idea of whatever it is, right? That people have problem and you want to address that. But then you go out there, talk to them, and it's like, huh, I didn't know that. And then like the whole new world opens in front of you, and you're like, wow, that is interesting.
Yeah.
And it only took like one call, but you really need to think that like, no. Like all I know are assumptions based on my bubble. This is my bubble and I'm in. And the same, like, we see it over and over again for the Microsoft things that Redmond is also a bubble. Right.
Yes.
Yeah, you should not say that out loud in this podcast. Somebody might get offended. Come on.
I'm also in a bubble. No,
just kidding.
I'm also in a bubble. It's the same thing.
You're the only person in my bubble, Valdek. No.
I mean, Valentine's Day—they already was.
Oh,
right?
That went already. Okay, so never mind.
But I think it's an important point that at some cases the developers and the change management, like the soft side of people, should maybe join forces, because, for example, if you are talking about like Teams provisioning, which is super technical thing, but it's something that end users use every day or every week, and it affects their experience. It's a huge impact. So,
Now, before we go to the articles, we need to go there sort of later as well. Carolina, what would be your kind of a top three things to consider as a change management, let's say, process or in a delivery? What would be the top things?
I would say three, maybe engage into management. So getting the resources, getting the internal commitment, like resources like internal people, money, and time. And it's not like 2 months project, it's more like a 2 years project if you still want to talk about projects. And then focus on the teamwork development and not on the technical trainings, because you can use like Microsoft has super cool resources in internet for free you can use, and the thing really changes the way they work in the organization is that when you get to know the teams and the projects and work together with them. So the internal commitment, and then the journey kind of thinking, and then the teamwork development. Those three.
Based on what your experience was so far is in the topic, what is the biggest challenge regarding change management and adoption? Like really the hardest thing you see over and over again, like going south.
I think it's the basic challenge still is that it's an IT project. The biggest challenge is to get HR and communications involved.
Yeah. Why?
Because they see it as a technical team's implementation and not teamwork development. And I'd like to bring that together.
Makes perfect sense.
But I mean, so it almost seems like at some point people don't see the necessity to change, and this is like, oh yeah, the IT wants to have new set of toys, let's give them, as opposed to no, we as a company needs to change because the world evolves, and otherwise like our cheese will be gone and then we will be left behind. So is that indeed the case that companies do not really see necessity to change, or is there a different reason for it?
I think that's true, but it's evolving. I think it's getting better year by year. And the companies and managers are slowly understanding the return on investment in the change management too. It's getting better,
Good. I think that's a good marker for going to the articles. We'll get back on the discussion in a second as well. But let's go through some weekly articles. So the new Office apps came live last week, Tuesday, whatever, February 19th. Have you used this, either one of you?
I have.
What's your first impression?
I still haven't done that.
I like the fact, I like the experience, I like the how it's combines multiple things into one. I miss a few things like OneNote, tasks. Like basically, I'd like the Office app to be all encompassing, and maybe that is like, I'm not sure if we will ever end up there, because if you think Office, well, it's Teams, it's email, calendar, it's tasks, and then files, right? So now the experience is very much around the files. I wonder, or I'd love to see it become the all-encompassing Office experience on the go.
Yeah.
But it's really cool. I like it.
Yeah. I like the idea to combine all the different applications in one. Yeah.
Make it easy for everybody to consume and use stuff, absolutely, and surfacing the different options. And like you said, actually, now that I'm watching this, there would be space still for OneNote as an example, and then having those exposed here basically means, or wherever they are being exposed, basically means that then people can more easily find them as well. Like, oh, what is this? Oh, I can actually do notes and all of that stuff. So makes perfect sense to do all of that stuff. To do isn't actually an Office app, though, technically, but hey.
Anyway. Tasks, okay, but then because then tasks, you would have planner, yes, exactly.
Yeah. Well, right now, as an example, planner is a good sample though. Do you actually go and install the planner application to your phone and then you take notes there, or how do you expose?
I don't live in tasks, so no.
Okay.
I installed planner and then I deleted it.
Adoption for the win.
There we go.
Why? Why?
Because I used it only in computer. I didn't have maybe that much plans at the moment, but it would have been useful in my mobile phone.
Gotcha.
Fair. I'm using Todo nowadays all the time. I'm able to clean up my notes from my table, which is really good. Partly still in progress. Anyway, Shape on Saturdays, and this week, Shape on Saturday payment starts actually on Friday because it is a two-day event. So this is kind of the Shape on Saturday in North Germany. So there's a Friday, two workshops, seems to be cybersecurity and adoption best practices, seems to be in German as well. So Germany is a massive market, absolutely. So I think that some of these are in German, some of these are in English. And then in the Saturday, it's a typical four-track session with Nick Borrell doing the keynote and New Rhythm Business. That's pretty interesting. Nick is a really good presenter as well. On the same Shape on Saturday, Chicago suburbs. I think there's a separate one in Chicago and then a Chicago suburbs. That's why it's with that extra marker. That's on Saturday, and I think it had the similar kind of a setup for five different tracks, actually. And they close pretty early, so 3 p.m. So you have plenty of time to spend your Saturday with your family as well. So that's
You have to think about everything you have learned. It's time to process. Networks, no?
Whatever.
No?
but yeah, familiar face names here as well. So, and MVPs, multiple MVPs, Project Cortex, preparing for Project Cortex. Good stuff, really good stuff. And learning pathways. That's, by the way, one thing what Carolina mentioned around the great resources, which are available for people to take advantage. It's basically aggregating all of the different videos and content to be used as part of your intranet as a learning exercise or learning solution. So really cool setup.
And you can also implement in Teams as an app.
Absolutely. Now, a few kind of an announcement from the Microsoft SharePoint side of the house. So there's still room for intelligent intranet accelerator workshops. And just a reminder on that one. And there's quite a few dates still left in here. I think, Copenhagen is the next one. Friday. Yep. Okay. And then Amsterdam coming pretty soon, Hong Kong, Chicago, Berlin, and Sweden. Why are they going? No, never mind. Copenhagen and Sweden are pretty close by, and to Berlin. Never mind.
Well, maybe that is exactly the whole point. Like, if you cannot make single day, then maybe in 3 weeks' time you will three months.
Absolutely. And these are typically at the Ignite on the Tour locations. And so that's why we do that. And we're having internal discussions actually on sharing this material more broadly. But might be after the tour is completely completed.
That would make perfect sense basically to scale it and make it available to a broader audience, right? Because the effort went already in there to prep all of that, to have everything in place. Correct. Now you need to reach as broad group as you can with that.
Share the material with MVPs and MCDs and then globally scale it. In ongoing discussion, we'll get it. We'll get there. Now, on Sunday, unfortunately, it doesn't really matter. We had the third anniversary of SharePoint Framework. So, and SharePoint Framework has been insanely successful. As just an internal note, it's been now so successful that our internal even tracking systems are having problems with keeping up on how much it's being used, which is actually pretty interesting. But it's so successful, and people are adapting now that, say, Microsoft Teams Tabs extensibility model as well. Office add-ins coming right after, so it looks really, really good. What's partly sad from here, and there's some of these people have actually moved even away from Microsoft, but it's good to see those who do not know. There's Luca Bandinelli, there's a Pat Miller, that's a Dan Gogan. Jeremy Kelly, Jax is over there.
And there is you in the picture, like in the middle,
middle. Yeah. That was a nice thing. So the people wanted to have a picture and they wanted me be on the picture as well. So it's kind of nice. On midnight of my time, just when we actually got it out, which is pretty cool. Still remember that evening. It didn't went as planned, never does. So there was an additional 3 hours delay on getting stuff moving. Always happens. Now, this one was pretty good GIF animation. Let me see if I can actually zoom in with a GIF animation still ongoing. Is the GIF animation moving? Yes, it is. So how do we bring the SharePoint content into Microsoft Teams? So now this is an area which will get better and better and better and better gradually. So basically, now SharePoint, OneDrive, and Teams are owned by Jeff Deeper. He's our senior vice president. And now the integration will absolutely get more and more love all the time because people want to have Teams as the collaboration platform, but then corporate communications actually want to use SharePoint for sharing news, and then you're kind of creating the news in SharePoint, but surfacing those in Teams and all of that. So really cool stuff, getting better and better.
And it makes perfect sense to have cohesive experience between the two and not have them look differently, behave differently, because at the end of the day, like, they are being used by the same user audience.
Yes,
right.
Absolutely.
So it makes perfect sense to have them look and feel exactly the same.
What's Carolina, your take on this, and how do what is the demand of customers on the integration part of SharePoint and Teams? Or is it SharePoint is old school, we don't want to use SharePoint anymore?
Actually, lots of my customers have been really excited about the possibility to integrate some of the intranet parts in Teams, because I think the Teams in the future will become maybe the portal also for the intranet. The internet will stay in SharePoint, but people will use it inside Teams.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to this. Yeah.
In the same way as you can expose also learning pathways in a Teams. And so really, really cool stuff. Now, some community articles. This one is from Tracy, related on the Microsoft Teams and adaption as well. Tracy is doing a lot of great blog posts really on this area as well. And she's, by the way, an awesome presenter. If you haven't seen her live, you should go and check it out. Yes. But this is really around the top 10 things you should know. So purpose, communicating. This really comes down on the discussion which we already had as well. So considerations and ideas and input, input around naming conventions and search and all of that. Now, Carolina,
private channels, there you go.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Is it the same perspective? Is it the same perspective? Because against using private channels is her take on it. Yeah, obviously the private channels option wouldn't be there if there would not be a demand for it. But it's not like you want every single channel to be private because it makes no sense whatsoever.
Yes.
It's like everything else in life, like it has its place. Use with caution, or use with, I don't know, what's the English word for that? Like, don't overuse, abuse it.
Yeah, it's not a yes or no. It's, hey, if it makes sense for your scenario, use it, but it's not yes or no thing.
Yeah.
So.
It's for a reason, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Now, this one was actually pretty cool. Last week. Today's
last
Monday,
week, yeah.
Last week was a Microsoft Teams week organized by the SharePoint European. Well, it's actually European SharePoint Office 365 National Conference. I always need to go back and read that from there because I can't remember that. It used to be a SharePoint conference, but there was a collaboration and portals has extended to other areas since the first SharePoint conference, and that's why the naming has kind of a stick on there on here. But this is an awesome set of articles and resources from multiple different writers related on how to get started with Microsoft Teams, from a simple scenarios to a developer scenarios and so on. What was your, Carolina, you told that you've been going through a lot of this material. Anything what you want to point out?
Yeah, of course, my own article was my favorite, of course.
Which one?
It's the five things every end user should know about Microsoft Teams.
There we go.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a really great collection of different blogs and webinars. So if you like are starting to get known to Teams, you should go there and check some articles out. Yeah.
I think this is if we keep on or if they keep on updating this set of articles, and hopefully they do. So this is a really, really, really great set of having a centralized page where you can go and, oh, this is the latest, or this is the latest top 20 articles which are up to date. That would be a really great for not only for Teams in general. So having a centralized location for the latest guidance and assets and resources. So, but your article was five things every end user should know about Microsoft Teams. What are the five things? They're in orange.
Teams is here to help you. Teams is yours to modify. Teams is with you when you want. Teams is designed for teamwork. And Teams is designed for business. Basically, these are basic assumptions I come up with every single one of my projects. So end users or IT pros are asking for this. So I did a small blog post about this.
Yep. Are you, by the way, writing on your own blog?
I write articles on LinkedIn. I do have a web page, but it's more like compilation of what I've done. So I do. I blog on LinkedIn. Yeah.
Yep. Cool. Makes sense. We'll get that one mentioned in the video notes as well. Now, then a few developer-oriented topics. Not yet, actually. Nikki Porell also was the keynote speaker in SharePoint Saturday. Premon moved the modern experiences in SharePoint and what you need to know about it. I think there's a few different people who are specialists on this one. Katia will be actually a visitor in this show pretty soon as well. She's been talking about that from an end user perspective as well. And then the transformation, we talked about that one with Bert Janssen quite a few times. And I think this one goes more also on the not development stuff, but rather on what does it actually mean and what are the out-of-the-box options and invoking, for example, the root site to be a modern or a communication site and all of that stuff. So good article from Nikki. Now, this one, more development-oriented stuff. So quickly improving performance when searching for a user using Microsoft Graph. We went through this one actually already before we started recording. The whole point being on the fact that if you hit that URL, you'll get to the user immediately, except if the user doesn't exist. So it's not really search as such, even though the title of the blog post was search, but it's much more performant if you have the user already available or you know the user, whatever the account name is. In here, this case, Adams at blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, and I think the API works directly. The API works either based on the email or ID.
Yeah.
I think you can use either one.
And that's much more performant than actually getting the list of people and then scanning through.
Well, of course, because you want info about this person, right? Yeah. So you don't really search. Absolutely. You're like, give me this.
But it's a good reminder, being efficient.
Absolutely. Yeah. So.
And then this one, programmatically configured base approval flow for modern pages in SharePoint Online. A nice blog post walking through the process. Let me actually go to the final stage where we, how do we get that one available programmatically in the pages? So that's actually quite useful. How do we associate those flows programmatically if you want to automate things? Again, this comes down on the fact, which I know Carolina maybe, well, that's maybe on your specialty, but one of those things where it's not like end users want to click through and associate these things manually. They want to have a set of things auto-provisioned for them always when a new site collection or a team is created so that the experience is exactly the same. So
yeah, it's like basically the same way you buy a car. You want to go in and drive. It's like, yeah, so this is the car, but you have to put your own wheels yourself. And then there's the engine, which is also a building box blocks, like assemble it yourself. Like, but I just want to go buy groceries. No. Yeah. Assemble first.
To be fair, IKEA model has been pretty successful, so you never know. So.
Yes, but then you know upfront that you're buying parts. And even at IKEA, they learned that some people just want a shelf and not a box of assembly parts.
True. This one came from this morning from Varshman. So Microsoft Bots Framework 4 sent proactive messages to teams, channels, and users. And this is basically, well, obviously Skynet is not necessarily the most nicest example for those who know what is Skynet. It's a great movie, though, movie series, at least on a certain level. But basically, how do we post to a specific teams and channels discussions as a bot, and then you are able to start having a discussion? Maybe ask a question or a promote, hey, I'm here if you want help, reply and I can provide you insights. So that's okay. But good article on that one. Andrew Connell had an article. We haven't gone through. This is from last week. No, the week before. Anyway. And there's an update for Azure Pipeline templates for SharePoint Framework projects. It's basically automating and Azure pipelines. So making sure that you can do continuous integration and deployment easily with DevOps. So good stuff on there. Chris O'Brien has infused artificial intelligence, or is it machine learning? I don't know. Into Office 365 apps. There are clear process and pricing. So basically, how do we get artificial intelligence? Hopefully not the Skynet, though. But yeah, so this is the first part, and I know, well, obviously he's here basically adding an additional set of theories later on. So looking forward on that one from Chris. But that's it for the articles for now. So those are listed in the blog post as well. So let me stop presenting. We have a few minutes. Any last words? What are you planning to do this week, Carolina?
I'm actually preparing my presentations for Tech Days Finland for week.
Yeah,
that's happening next week. And then I also have the Teams Dagen in Stockholm, the 11th of March. Yes. So I have my first presentation on Swedish. So I'm speaking Swedish.
Yep, that works really well. Yeah. I can barely understand that, though. After 12 years of studying Swedish, no.
Yes, but yeah, customer stuff and presentation stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
For those who do not know, Finland is actually a two-language country, two official languages. So.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was totally not aware of that.
Yeah, that's Sweden and Finnish. So.
Huh.
Every people in Finland learn Swedish at school, but not everyone really can Swedish.
Well, but I mean, so there are two things. I mean, I learned at school German for I don't know how many years. I don't speak it. I kind of vaguely understand it, but that's different actually. Like, when I left school, my comprehension of German was nil. right? So it's like it just didn't click. It just didn't make any sense. But I wasn't aware that Finland has officially two languages.
Yep.
So everything on street, all signs.
Yep. Yep.
Yep.
Ah, why?
Well, it's always been like that since the independence of Finland. So I think it's 6-7% of Finland's population has the native language of Swedish nowadays. So it's gone down. It was much higher at some point. So anyway, so Waldek, what are you going to do this week? So
So we are preparing next release of the Office 365 CLI. We have right, so we have that. We finished work on a new command that will help you verify your SPFX dev environment.
Yep.
So that will be included in the next preview because we are very, very close to a release now and we don't want to introduce last minute anything new in case something goes south. And we expect this one to be one that people might have different opinions about it, how it works. So we want to put it in preview to avoid last minute fixes and, the patch one versions and all of that. Yep. So that's coming soon. That is one. For work, we have released last week something new on which we've been working for the last few months. So that is now available in private preview to a selected group. And that is all around governance of 365 at scale. So this is a really cool thing, and it allows you to look for certain things and automate working with that. So imagine you have a lot of things that aren't used or a lot of things that don't match the governance plan that you have. Like, what do you do with that? And also beyond the point where it's just one or two, what if it's 10 or 100 or even more? Like, how do you deal with that? So that is now available in preview, and we are going to onboard the customers that we have for that in the coming weeks. So we hope to learn more, and shortly after that, really quickly get to market to the place where you can say, okay, now we make it available to everybody.
Yep. Quite typical. Yeah. Say, wait. Well, that's almost like the preview release is what we do. So it makes perfect sense. So.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it doesn't. It just proves the point. Like you just cannot like close yourself in a shed, build something, come up with the next big thing.
Yeah, it doesn't.
You really need
that's not,
real field feedback. Like there is no replacement for that.
Comes back on the change management from Karolina as well. That it's constant change. You just need to teach the changes for the employees and what's available. Because every single time, as an example, when we as Microsoft, we change a button in the SharePoint UI or whatever, people freak out and then they go, it's not there anymore. Somebody moved my cheese. Where's
it? Yeah, and then all your training material and everything just goes south. Yes. And you're like,
yes.
Yeah.
It's even super visible in the dev documentation, which Waldek has helped at some point quite heavily on building. And the more documentation you have, then more stuff you have to maintain. So it's a really interesting balance on too much documentation is actually harming you because it's no longer up to date. And then it's not good.
Well, but on the other thing, you do need that because adoption. Like if you want people to understand your stuff, you have to explain it, right? So balance thing out,
Yeah, and that's also the point because you maybe don't want to use all of your resources to do technical instructions in the company, but more if you can get the team and get the team work together so they can support each other when the button changes.
Absolutely. And then we could continue. Karolina, do you have a hard stop? I'm just double checking that you don't have a customer meeting right now.
No.
Okay. So if you take 2 minutes on this one, because you've actually touched this already, that it shouldn't necessarily always be a project. And we're heading more and more to the direction where even the, let's say, landing or taking use on SharePoint Online or Office 365 or Microsoft 365, it's not actually a project. It's a continuous journey. And then you introduce new features and enable new features. And in the same way, the change management should be a continuous journey where we allocate in every single year in the budget a certain amount of money, and then we can help the train to move forward and improve the readiness of the customer of the end users.
Yeah,
it's so often right that we approach things like many people approach it as a diet. Like I have something I want a quick fix. I will do that for 3 months and I'm done.
Yeah.
Whereas, like we all know, the moment you stop, you will gonna revert back to your original behavior posture. Like you should think about it as a lifestyle change. The same thing adoption. Like it has to become like you have like whatever you choose, you have to be sure that you're willing to keep up with that for the rest of your days, because only then it will work. Otherwise, yep, it's a quick fix and just like bouncing back between I'm good, I'm bad, I'm good, I'm bad. It works, it doesn't, right?
Yeah, I like that. It's a lifestyle change.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes. Digital transformation, it is a lifestyle change, because like, you want it to work. It's not a quick fix, right? It's not like, okay, so we will do this.
Quotable.
Perfect. Yes. No, but I guess it is exactly that. I mean, like it's an illusion that you can do project of 3 months and everything will be fixed.
Yeah.
It doesn't. It just doesn't work like that.
Yep. Absolutely agree on that. Cool. I think that's it for now. We don't want to take this too long. For me, quickly, just obviously we're locking down our plans for SBC and Build, and MVP Summit is coming pretty soon as well. Both of you will be probably there. Yeah. We'll see.
I will not.
You will not.
Summit. Okay. No, sorry, yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah, too bad. Unless there's a situation changes on the corona thingy, and everybody is obviously Microsoft watching that pretty carefully as well, because there has been some unfortunate development in Italy right now during weekend. But we'll see. We'll see how it actually moves. But it's life. We need to adapt. And doing these kind of things virtually and remotely from home, Not a bad thing at all. Why wouldn't we be able to do that?
Virtual summit. I'm all for it.
It's more environmental friendly as well, rather than flying over.
Yeah,
There's multiple benefits out of that as well. But I think that's it for now. Thank you, Karolina, for joining us and talking about the softer side of things, which is super, super important, because it doesn't matter if you write the most awesome piece of code or most awesome feature if nobody knows how to use it. So it is critical.
Yeah.
And thank you, Waldeck, again for this one. I think for next week, we haven't locked anybody for next week yet. We need to jump on it.
We have.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us.
We'll be back in a week. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.